chapter 4 this morning. I'm kind of reading the same books Pastor is. And I'm reading the same book he's reading right now, which is The Spiritual Man by Watchman Nee. I've read three other books of his, and The Release of the Spirit, Spiritual Discernment, and The Latent Power of the Soul, which latent means hidden power of the soul. And so I'm getting a lot of stuff out of it as well, and but I'm getting something different out of it. All right, Pastor's preaching the stuff he's preaching, but I want to look at something different. And it's still about the soul, it's still about the spirit, and it's still about the body. But you ever know what the mind is? When the Bible talks about renewing your mind, it's not your brain. Okay? As he pointed out on the drawing, that the mind is part of the soul. It's the volition, the mind, and the volition is just basically your will. So you have your will and your mind, and you have emotions that come from the soul. So the mind, we often think it's the brain, but it's not. It's something spiritual, and it's something we can't see, and a lot of times we can't touch it. And the Bible says to renew your mind. It says in another place to gird up the loins of your mind. So when you talk about the armor of God and how to put it on, it's a mind thing. It's spiritual, it's not physical, it's not what you can teach to your brain, it's not physical as a brain is. So it's not a physical thinking, it's something totally different. But what is the heart? What is the heart? Is it the mind? What is it? Well, I'm finding out that it's part of your will. The heart of the matter is your will. Okay, now look at Proverbs chapter 4, and I have no notes on this at all. Nothing. So we're gonna probably be done early, and I'm gonna just give you a couple things to think about. But Proverbs, if you look at Proverbs, it talks a lot about the soul. A lot about the soul. And that's where I'm at in my Bible reading, not just reading a proverb a day. I'm reading it as for my everyday reading. And I believe you should. Because not only should you read a proverb a day, which is good for you, it doesn't hurt for you to read it through in a few days, 3 days. Get through it. Because it has a lot to do with the foolish, the wise, the understanding. What is that? That's all has to do with the soul. And so I came to chapter 4 and I was reading this, and I want to start at 1 and go all the way through the chapter, and I want you to watch for thoughts, the mind, the will, the heart, things like that, because it's all soul. Now, Proverbs is written by Solomon to his son Rehoboam, to give Rehoboam some wisdom on how to lead the country. And you see, by the way, Rehoboam lived his life that he failed. He didn't heed anything from the book of Proverbs. Nothing. Because he was a wicked king. He wound up splitting the nation. And so he says in verse 1 to Rehoboam, my son, forget not my law. Now he says my law, not God's law. Okay? He's telling him, if you live by the wisdom that I have, don't forget it. Don't give up on it. But let thine heart keep my commandments. My commandments, not God's commandments. Now we can liken this and preach on this like God is talking, and you can do that. But you've got to remember historically who this is writing this and who it's written to. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of where? Okay, that neck then cannot be a physical neck. Okay, you got it? He says, write them upon the table of thine heart. Now, when you're told to memorize scripture, what are you told? Don't just memorize it, memorize it. And we point to our physical heart, but it's really not our physical heart, it's our soul. Okay? You've got to be willing to do it, because the will and heart is what it is. They're the same. And he's saying, bound them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So your heart, your spiritual heart, your will is a table. And you can will what you want to will, whether good or bad. You could be willing to do something, or you could be unwilling to do something. Rehoboam was unwilling to do this. And he heeded nothing. And he says to write them upon the table of thine heart, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your brain. With all your heart. What, the one thing beating, pumping blood? No. A lot of times when you see heart and mind, you could just say soul. You could just put soul in that word and it'll fit, because the heart of man, the spiritual heart, is the soul. The mind is the soul. The mind is the intellect part of the soul. The heart is the will part of the soul. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, what's the eyes? Your physical eyes? No, they're not. What is the eyes there? That's the sight, which is an emotion, which is the soul, which comes from the soul. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The marrow and the bones, what is that? Your body, your skeletal system? Mm-mm. It's not. It's the soul. Now, how can I... Now, watch this. Now, with Scripture, you have to interpret Scripture with Scripture. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Everybody knows the verse. And when you read this verse, in light of this, it opens up something totally different. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12. Everybody knows the verse. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of what? And what else? Of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God is alive, and what it'll do, it'll take and cut your soul and your spirit and divide it. Just like what Pastor's talking about. That's the operation that was made without hands, Colossians chapter 2. It's a dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Your thoughts is the mind of the soul. The intents of the heart is the will. Whether you're willing or you're not willing. You see that? That's the intents of the heart. And so it says back over in Proverbs chapter 3, and depart from evil, verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. What will be marrow to your bones? Trusting in the Lord. Acknowledging His direction and His paths. That's what's going to bring health to you and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That is not necessarily physical stuff. It can be. But what about honoring the Lord with the spiritual, the soul, honoring the Lord with your will, and following Him with all your soul? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, Rehoboam, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. Obviously, Solomon had a lot of chastening of the Lord, and he had correction. And he's telling Rehoboam to not despise it. Now, our body, at the time of salvation, I'm reading about regeneration right now, and I'm not done with it. I was reading about it last night. And regeneration took place when you and I got saved. When we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, Christ came into us, and we were at that point crucified with Him. Okay? And we've heard lots of messages on, you know, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But what was crucified with Christ? It was the flesh. And regeneration, when we think about it, it goes beyond salvation. It's putting this body and this flesh to death because it's already dead. Christ looks at us, God looks at us, that we're already dead. And yet we take our flesh and obey the lusts of our flesh and give our bodies anything that we want. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. And so the body dictates what the soul wants and dictates and controls the soul, and it's supposed to be the spirit. And a saved person doesn't know that. The spirit at the time of salvation is very weak. And you have to continue to allow this flesh to be put to death and do the things of the spirit in order for the spirit to grow. You know why we walk most of the time in the flesh? It's because we've never been taught that we don't have to sin. Christians, born again, baby Christians, have to be taught as soon as they're saved that they need to remember that their body is dead. That the things we once did matter no more. The sins we committed, we're not supposed to commit them anymore. And because of a lack of grace on our part, we don't preach against, hey, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to sin. And that's not being done anymore because grace is the emphasis. Now, grace has to be there, but there has to be a balance. You could tell someone to not get a tattoo. You could tell them gracefully why. You can. You don't have to say it mean and make someone mad. The problem is, Christians today don't have the grace to say, hey, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't cuss anymore. You're saved. Christians are not teaching the baby Christians, the brand new born again Christians, that, hey, this is the way we're supposed to live now. We're not supposed to live after the flesh. Somewhere along the line, within the last 200 years, maybe even the last 100 years, the devil has been able to come in and creep into the churches and overemphasize one part and leave the other underemphasized. Look, Christians are not supposed to cuss. They're not supposed to swear. And yet we hear Christians do it every day. Look, you're just showing your heart. You're willing to do what you want to do, and you're unwilling to kill the flesh. That's what it boils down to. And we instead think that we're wise in our own eyes. Verse 7. And Solomon is telling Rehoboam, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear God instead. Commit your flesh to death, like Paul talks about in Romans 6, 7, and 8. Well, I don't think that we could teach enough on Romans 6, 7, and 8, because Christians just don't understand it. We don't get it. Verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Why are we chastened of the Lord? Why does he have to correct us? Because our will does not line up with his will. Because we are willing to do, we're willing instead to keep this flesh going and to appease the lust of the flesh, and we want to look at and appease the lust of our eyes. Look, our life is not the pride of life. Our life is Christ. I really don't like it when people say, I'm proud of whatever. I'm proud to be a Christian. No, you shouldn't be. You should be honored to be a Christian. You should be honored to be an American. It's not pride. Pride will always be a sin. Well, I'm proud of you, son. Really? Pride is a sin. God hates pride. He abhors it. Sorry, it's just one of those things that I have a problem with pride in my life. I don't need to be proud to be an American or proud to be a Christian. I should be honored and privileged to be a child of God. It's about Him. It's what He's done. Verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Wisdom comes out of the soul. Understanding comes out of the soul. For the merchandise of it, what? Wisdom. For the merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So by getting wisdom, it's better than the merchandise of silver and gold and anything you can buy, sell, or get gain. Anything. She is more precious than rubies. What? Wisdom is. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. What is the desire? That's an emotion of desire. It comes from the soul. Length of days is in her right hand. In whose right hand? Wisdom's. You want to live a long life? Get wisdom. That's what it's saying. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. You'll understand how to spend money or not spend it, or you'll understand people are going to come to you and honor you for the wisdom that you have, and probably will honor God through it. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Whose paths are peace? Wisdom. She, wisdom, is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. You imagine if you had the wisdom from Jesus Christ, that would be a tree of life. Christ is our life. He is the tree, right? We're the branches, he says in John chapter 15. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her wisdom. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens, not just by wisdom, but the understanding. He established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up. You know, our knowledge couldn't do that. But God's can. He has a different level of knowledge and understanding and wisdom than we could ever understand. We don't even understand that type of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Because God's knowledge does not puff him up. Amen? That kind of the knowledge we get puffs us up. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. What is that eyes? Is that the... No, that's the sight. That's the from the soul side of it. So shall they be life unto thy soul. See, not life unto your body. It says life unto your soul and grace to thy neck. Now, I looked at that and grace to thy neck. And remember it talked about neck up in verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bound them about thy neck. It says, and grace to thy neck. That neck is not your physical neck. That's from your soul. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Look, you're not going to stumble into sin if you have the wisdom. If your spirit is controlling your soul and not your body, and the body will come into subjection under the soul, which will be under the spirit. That's what it's talking about. And thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. You ever had a time when you slept and it wasn't sweet? Maybe you dreamed of something and you woke up exhausted. Well, where have you been dwelling? In your flesh or in your soul? Or is it in your spirit? Where are you dwelling at most of the time? He says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. We're in chapter 4 of Proverbs, by the way. Chapter 3, sorry. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Where do you devise things? Out of your heart, out of your soul. How you deal with your neighbor, how you deal with each other comes out of your soul. Is it spiritual or is it fleshly? Has the flesh taken control of the soul? Or have you allowed God's Spirit to take control of your soul? And it comes out in how you deal with each other. It says, devise not evil against thy neighbor. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. And that lowly is those that are humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Now look at chapter 4, and this is where I was wanting to come. And look at verse 20. My son, talking once again to Rehoboam, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. He not only does he want Rehoboam to hear what he's saying, but he wants him to hear. Okay? It's not just to hear it with your ears, but he wants you to hear it in your heart. Now, everything we've looked at, and what is that? That's an emotion. It's to listen, to see. Sight is an emotion from in the soul. So he wants him to incline his ear unto my sayings. Verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes. What? The physical eyes? No, the eyes of the soul. The sight, the emotion. One of the senses. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. What? Not the mind, which is the intellect of the soul, but the heart, which is the will of the soul. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Look, you want a healthy flesh? You got to keep these things with your heart. You've got to be willing to keep it, to keep these words. And then look at verse 23. When you look at this verse in the light of the soul, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, the heart, are the issues of life. Every issue you have going on in your life comes from the soul, whether bad or whether good, comes from the soul. Every issue, every thought comes from the soul. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Well, if you're keeping your heart and you're lining your heart and your will with the Lord's will and what the Spirit wants, you won't have trouble. You won't have trouble with verse 24. You won't have a froward mouth. You won't have perverse lips. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. What? Is that look where you're going? No, I think it's more talking about the soul. Watch what you're doing with your soul. You know, you'll see movies all the time, and I've said this before, that they'll say, well, listen to your heart. Do what your heart tells you to. Really? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't even know it. What is the heart? It's the will of man. What you're willing or not willing to do. And your body is going to line up with what you're willing or willing not to do. That's your heart. You don't follow your heart. How do you follow your soul? You do that when you let your flesh and your body take control of your soul. That's not keeping your heart with all diligence. I'll tell you what, this stuff pastor's preaching, we need it. Because it opens up so much in our Christian life. And I look back through my life and I say, I'm a failure. I've been living in the flesh and I thought I was spiritual. And if you were honest with yourself, you would see you're the same way. And it's very disheartening. It's very discouraging when you think, okay, I've been living a soulish life by the flesh and not anything by the Spirit, and I really wonder how many rewards I really have in heaven. Because I've been living in the flesh, and in the flesh you can't please God. I think the Lord wants us to go to the next level. To act like our flesh is crucified, to keep it that way, and allow our intuition that's inside our spirit work with the conscience and listen to what the Lord says and keep our mind out of it. When you keep your heart with all diligence, that's kind of like guarding it. You'll find in the Word, in the Bible sometimes, about a keep. You know what a keep is? It's a place that's guarded. And I'm not saying to build up walls so you can't get through to me. That's not what I'm talking about. We've always have to put a... The Bible says casting down imaginations. I think that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10? Is that where that's at? Second Corinthians chapter 10. And see, this is where the rubber meets the road. Because verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And we've got to understand this. We have to understand it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These strongholds are things that are built in our and put up in our life from past experiences, whether good or bad. Things we've been taught. And we have to be willing to pull those strongholds down. And it says casting down imaginations. You know what that imaginations is? It's not the imaginations of the mind. It's the imaginations of the heart. So much in Scripture, it talks about what they have imagined to do in their heart. That's what you're willing to do or not willing to do. And we think, when we think about imaginations, we think of what we've thought in our mind, and obviously, we're going to think about it, obviously. But we're to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You have knowledge about God. What is it in your imaginations that goes up and above and beyond what God thinks about it? Now, we just read over in Proverbs chapter 3 about God's knowledge. And we saw that his knowledge, he could cause it to rain or snow by his knowledge, and his understanding is how things were created. Now, we don't have any idea what that kind of knowledge is, but the knowledge that we have of God and the understanding we have, if our imaginations are higher than that knowledge of God, we're to pull that thing down. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Because that imaginations of the heart and man is where you start thinking in your mind about it. And usually leads us into disobedience and into sin. Now I'll tell you young people something. You need to get this now. Josh, Samuel, Zachary, Everett, even you three guys on the back row, if you get this thing now, if you learn right now to put to death the flesh and you practice it every day of your life, it will be easier for you as adults. We as adults have a hard time with this imaginations and the thoughts of our heart. You can get it now. If you put it into practice, you can get it right now. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. There's no magical bullet. Everybody looks for a magical bullet that I can get it instantly. No, it's not going to happen. You've got to put it into practice every day and sometimes multiple times a day. You have to realize, hey, that was my flesh, and go to the Lord and confess it as sin. When something comes into your mind and you feel like you want to cuss, where does that come from? The heart. Because out of the heart is the issues of life. And that's in your soul. And then, after you've cast down those imaginations and brought into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Once you've done this and you've obeyed what God has said in verse 5, then you can be ready to revenge that disobedience. See, obviously, most of the time, we may stop at verse 5 and not take revenge on it. And so we continue to battle with it. And this battle is between the mind and the heart of our soul. It's a very serious thing. And I'm starting to get a little bit of this, and I hope you are too, about what the Lord wants to show our church. And really, it will show you when you talk to people whether they're being spiritual or whether they're just in the soul. They're being fleshly. I was thinking about this a lot this week. Of course, I've been reading through the book of Proverbs. And so every conversation that flashes in my mind, I'm saying, all right, and there's not been very much conversations that have been spiritual that I've had, not of someone else. It's been the conversations that I've been involved in, I've seen about me. And we think we're doing okay. And we're actually live our whole life in the flesh thinking we're spiritual. Verse 25 of Proverbs 4, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. What? Your physical feet? Your ways? God tells you what your feet is. It's the ways and the paths that you walk in, not physically, but in your soul. Ponder what you do every day. Think about what you say or how you say it. Sometimes we can divert an argument in our family by how we say things. I'm learning that. Because I can make her mad in an instant by just how I say it. I wasn't mean. I didn't yell. But it's how I say it. It's very important. And then he says, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. We see that evil is not something we can see. It's often something that we have caused most of the time. And you go on through the book of Proverbs, and you'll see how much Solomon deals with the soul. Whether it talks about the heart or whether it talks about the thoughts and the mind, you'll see it all throughout the book of Proverbs. And if we can get that, God will give you wisdom. Not wisdom for someone else, but how to deal with your soul. How to not live in the flesh, but live in the spirit. And the spirit controlling the soul, which is the way it should be. Watchman Nee says that it's supposed to be spirit, soul, and body, yet we live the other way, body, soul, and spirit. And therefore, when our body is controlling our soul, our soul will weaken the spirit, which is where we are at. But if you concentrate on your relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're concentrate on your relationship, and you're in communion, which is part of the spirit, right? Then your spirit will become strengthened, and it'll start affecting your soul, and the flesh will become weak. Amen. Which is where God wants every person. Jesus Christ didn't live in the flesh. Jesus Christ was a spiritual man. And although he was the Son of Man, although he was God, he was a spiritual man. Although he blasted the Pharisees, he was spiritual in doing it. We don't understand that. But God's spirit was in communion with Christ's spirit, and that spirit had control of Christ's soul. And the flesh, he could quote scripture to the devil, and the devil couldn't get through. See, we can quote scripture all we want, but if we're quoting scripture and the devil's trying to get us, that may work for a second, but the devil's going to come right back and we're going to fall into it. The same thing that we quoted the scripture for, because you can quote scripture on being the flesh. And we've all done it, I'm sure. I've done it. And be just as wrong doing it. Why? Because it didn't come from God's Spirit. The Bible says to be ready always to give an answer to every man. How do you be ready? By getting all this stuff memorized and have it right here? It's not, is it? Because God will bring that back when you don't know what to say. Through your conscience, through your intuition, God will bring back what you need to say. And it may not say, you ever said something and someone said, well, you should have said this? Well, and wait a minute. That's not what God wanted you to say, so he didn't bring it to your mind. So don't worry about it. God gave you what to say at the time he wanted you to say it, and it's enough. We start overthinking it, and that's where we get in trouble because we take it too far. And then people get mad and get upset. They leave the church. They never step foot back in the church again. Why? Because we went back. If we would have just listened and said exactly what the conscience and the intuition told us to say and said no more, that would have been enough. That would have been what they needed, and you would have been done, and that's by the Spirit. And our mind and our soul gets in the way too many times, and we go too far, even if it is just one little extra thought to give them a push. Usually it's a push right off the deep. They never step foot in church again, or wind up splitting a church. Serious stuff. When you walk in your soul instead of in the Spirit, that's pretty heavy. It's heavy duty stuff. And it's hard to swallow. And it's a lot more easier to preach it than it is to live it. And now we've got to live it. And that's where we're at, because we're getting all this knowledge, but if we don't use it and don't, what does the Bible say in James? Be not just a hearer of it, but a doer also. See, that's where it comes into play, and usually we're not doing it for your benefit. I've got to fix my soul. I've got to fix my relationship with Jesus Christ before I can help anyone else. Does that make sense? God wants us to live in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. Then I'll be able to help you. But if I'm in the flesh all the time, all I'm going to do is hurt you and make you mad and make you hate me. And that's where we're at. So really, we need to pray for each other. We really do. Because this stuff that pastor's teaching and that I'm learning, I've never heard anything like this before. I never have anywhere. And I think the Lord has been on this track for the past few years, ever since we got this building, maybe before, and we just weren't aware of it. And when I came back from Chuck Colson's, what was that, two years ago? It was evident that was the direction our church wanted to go, where we're at now, preaching and teaching this. But I could see then we weren't ready for it. Our church wasn't ready for it, but yet that's where the Lord, and I told her that after we got back. And that first Sunday that I was back, I preached and everything. And what I was talking about seemed like nobody understood what I was saying. Because I could see it on everyone's faces. And the Lord basically said, the church isn't ready for it. I believe the church is ready for this now. And this is the direction within the last 4 years that the Lord wants to take our church. This isn't for every church. I'll just be honest with you. I think this is the direction God wants for every church. But a lot of churches, God has a lot of work to do first in the churches before he can get us to this point. It took us a lot of years to get to the point where we're at now. This is the direction for our church, and God wants to use us to show the grace in our community that we need. And I don't know what the Lord has planned for us. All I know is the Lord wants us to get this. The Lord wants us to be spiritual. to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We have to understand how, when, or why, or we have to know all of that. But we have to commit it to the Holy Spirit to teach us. Man cannot teach us this stuff. Now, we're using a lot of man's stuff, but the like Watchman Nee, that book, A Spiritual Man, that pastor's reading, and I'm reading it now. He started out in the preface, he said that he started writing the book, and it's divided up into three volumes. And before he got even close to halfway done with the first volume, he put it down, and he knew there must be some things that the Lord wants to teach me first. And he picked it up, I forget how long, but it was like years later he picked it back up and was able to write. Why? Because he had the experience from it. And he said during the third volume of that book, he was so beat down by Satan, not his flesh, but he was tired in his soul. And of course, that's going to make your flesh exhausted as well. Now, one thing I didn't realize is that most of Watchman Nee's book was written from a prison cell. I didn't know that. That's not where he wrote The Spiritual Man, but most of his other, he's got lots of books out, and they go from, I think he's got a couple commentaries about the Bible and stuff like that. And he's a Chinaman. He's a Chinese man. And so, but God, he believes that God helped him to write the book. It was not him. It was God. Just like Clarence Larkin said the same thing about dispensational truth, that before God, a lot of prayer went into that book, and he believes that it was God that helped him put that together. Watchman Nee says the same thing about this book. And I believe every Christian should read it. I really do. But he said that third volume was the hardest on him to write. And he said, because the book is 900 pages long. He said that you will get bogged down in it. And the thing about most Christians reading it, he could see that most Christians will not make it to that third volume, because it's hard to get through. And once you start thinking about this stuff and God starts showing you a lot of the stuff, you're like, wow. You can't just read it, sit down and read it like a novel. I mean, it provokes what you think. And it's caused me to pray, Lord, what am I doing? I'm living in my flesh, and here I am thinking that I'm living in the Spirit, and I'm not anywhere close to it. And it'll really cause a lot of questions that you'll just have to ask the Lord to show you. And this stuff we're teaching is not easy. The devil doesn't want us to get it. He wants to keep our minds blinded. And that's what he's trying to do. And most of our churches are blinded. Their souls are blinded by this thing. So pray for each other and pray for Pastor. Pastor may be sick because the Lord's trying to show him something. Pastors claim that a lot of times. He may use a food item to bring about the sickness. We don't know. Pastor's sick for a reason, and God understands it, and God knows all about it. Maybe there's something that... So pray for Pastor that if he's sick, maybe that the Lord will show him whatever it is he's trying to show him. Maybe he's trying to show him on how to direct our church into the direction that God wants it. Who knows? We should be praying for each other. We should be praying for the veterans' home, for the beehive, for these things, for these churches that are struggling, for people that are sick. We ought to be praying about these things. We ought to be talking to God about it. These things matter to the Lord. And it'll help our you know, the communion part of the Spirit is not just fellowship. It's worship too. You know, Watchman Nee, he never mentioned fellowship as part of the Spirit, as part of communion. He always said worship. Communion is fellowship, but it also includes worship. And as we go through chapter 3 of Daniel, a lot of that chapter is about worship. It's about soul power, and we're going to get into that a little bit. And I've got to restudy some things. So I've got all these notes on it, but that's a lot of the notes that I've got, he's leading in a different direction. So as we go through chapter 3 of Daniel and it talks about worship, man, all that is, that's soul. Is our worship spirit-filled? Is that, it's that controlling our soul and our emotions and everything? Or is it the body, which is what's going on in Daniel chapter 3? So pray for me also that the Lord will help me with this. Amen? Any questions?